Hey, everyone. Michael Sparks here. This is the AMSOIL dealer training call. It's Monday, November 24th, 2014, and we're excited to have you on this call. Tonight, we have an exciting program lineup for you. This is our AMSOIL direct jobber interview for November 2014. Each month or so, we try to interview a successful AMSOIL direct jobber in the company, and we just feel that this is a great idea for anybody that's listening in tonight, and this call is available not only live, but we record this, and it goes on our dealer training site for any AMSOIL dealer or prospective dealer in the entire company that's interested in learning more and being inspired to find out what other AMSOIL dealers that have become successful are doing. And we're looking forward to helping dealers on our team as well as any dealer become more successful, because that really helps us all become more successful. And I so much enjoy doing these interviews because they help me stay motivated and stay on track to get dealers on our team and as well as anybody we're working with more information and how to get started as an AMSOIL dealer. Before we call on our interview, we have a question and answer session at the end. Our interview tonight is with Tom Shalen. And any dealers calling in tonight, we'll open the call up and have a question and answers at the end. So if you'd like to ask a veteran AMSOIL direct jobber a question on anything that's relevant to tonight's call, please hold your questions to the end, and we'll be glad to hear from you. Write down your questions, and then we'll ask them at the end. Tonight's call is our special guest, has been involved with AMSOIL since, I believe, 1979. These are the pioneers in the AMSOIL business. They have paved the way for all of us to have a more successful and faster income in our business. Back then in 1979, I'm sure it was much harder to work at the business than it is today without the internet, without cell phones, maybe stocking inventory and no direct shipments and stuff like that. So let's welcome Tom Shalen, AMSOIL 4-star Regency Platinum direct jobber. Tom, you on tonight?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Tom, thanks for coming on the call.
Well, I consider it an honor. Such a distinguished group out there. At least those I know, and maybe those I don't know might be more distinguished than those I do know.
Well, I'm sure some of them you've run into at the AMSOIL training events, and as this call goes out there into the internet world, more people will maybe listen in, when they come up to AMSOIL University, they'll want to come shake your hand for this wonderful call tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hey, well, let's get started on this call. And you know, we all didn't start out, you know, when we were 18 years old and say, I want to grow up and become an AMSOIL dealer. Many folks have other backgrounds and everything. And let's just hear where you came from and what you did before you became an AMSOIL dealer.
I worked for a railroad.
Okay.
And I was in railroad management and operations, and I had a 24/7 job. I didn't really have any time off. We were subject to calls, to operational issues. In other words, it was a very demanding job, you know, as far as time commitment, because you're in the public transportation sector. And I was in a small town, actually, in the middle of Kansas, about 10, 12,000 people. And I always had an entrepreneurial bent, I guess, you know, looking for things. I enjoyed my job. I enjoyed working in corporate America. I enjoyed working for the railroad. But I always had a feeling, you know, I'd like to have my own business, too, but I don't know how that is ever going to merge together. And in 1979, it was actually And I was in Newton, Kansas, which is just north of Wichita, about 20 miles, a little small town. An acquaintance at the church we were going to told me about AMSOIL. And I've always been kind of a gearhead and liked performance and quality. And, you know, based upon that and based upon my entrepreneurial bent, I said, you know, I'll take a look at it and, you know, see what it is. And it gave me a sales kit to look at back in 79. And information was stellar to me at the point. I mean, you know, synthetic oil. I said, you know, what do you mean synthetic oil? But I took it at face value that it was a better product, that the quality was good. And then my sponsor also told me that the lady that wrote the marketing plan lives in Wichita. And I said, yeah, sure. And in fact, she did. Shirley Green lived in Wichita. And I just happened to be there. And this was in 79, and Wichita was the first point outside of Superior that had a warehouse, a distribution center. So there happened to be a warehouse in Wichita, too. And Shirley held meetings. She had what they called a dealer training center. It was a storefront that she had rented. And she held a couple meetings a month down there, I went to the meetings because I didn't know you weren't supposed to. And got to know Shirley, got to know some of the dealers in the area, and I was enthusiastic. And one thing that I think really helped me early on was the enthusiasm. And I think those of you that have read some of the Zig Ziglar stuff back early on then in the 70s and 80s, you know, he always talked about your attitude determines your altitude. And being in this little town of 10, 12,000 people, I was a direct dealer my third month in the business and direct jobber the fifth month. And that was $4,000 a month of volume and $79 to do that. Hmm. And I think there were a couple reasons for that. Number one, I had mentioned the enthusiasm, but also credibility. And being in management, I was living in a railroad town, and I also had to be careful with that and balancing that because we frowned on people working on the railroad having other interests because they had to be dedicated to the railroad. So here I am, being one of the operating officers in the area, doing something else too. So you had to balance that, you know, and I guess I'm telling you these things because a lot of people have, well, I can't do this or I can't do that because of that or because of this. You can do it if you know how, if you really want to. So I worked around those obstacles. And there were times, and being on call 24/7, well, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't have time. I can't do this or I've got this commitment, that commitment. Hey, I might get called at 3 in the morning to go in some emergency 200 miles away. I mean, those things just happened, but I was still able to do that. And if there's two keys to that early on, it was enthusiasm and credibility. And some dealers just don't have that. But one thing dealers need to understand, that everybody brings skill sets to the table. And some skill sets are more amenable to the business than others. And the good thing about that is you can acquire those that are deficient, that you're lacking, that you can hone to a finer, higher standard, and then also use those that you have. So bottom line is you can do it if you want to by doing the right things. So I kept the business part-time. I was part-time for 18 years. We moved around the country. We went from Kansas. We went to California. We went to Arizona. We went to Texas, back to Kansas. We were all over, and the beauty about the business, we could take it with us. And I knew when I signed up originally as a dealer back in 79 that And I told people this. I said, you know, I don't know when or where, but I know someday down the road, this business and the timing is going to be just what I need. I can't tell you when that is, but I know it's going to happen. And 18 years later, I was down in the Fort Worth area in Texas, and I decided to retire early from corporate America, and I went through a merger, and we were letting a lot of people go. Fortunately or unfortunately, I wasn't one they wanted to get rid of. But I thought it prudent for my future and for what I could see happening that this was a time, if I could go ahead and retire early from corporate America to do this full time, I thought I could. And we had just moved to Texas. We just built a huge lake home on Eagle Mountain Lake, just northwest of Fort Worth. And 9 months later, I quit. And a lot of people, and I'm not recommending people just arbitrarily do something like this, but they say, you know, if you don't want to go back, you burn the bridges behind you. That isn't always a good thing. You want to make sure that you know what you're doing. But bottom line, I felt that based upon our success, the people I knew and what I could do with this business, that we could go ahead and make this move. We were executive direct jobbers at the time. So this was like from 79 to 97. So I made the move as an executive direct jobber to go ahead and go full-time in the business. And I was 52 at the time, and I tell people I retired at 52 to do AMSOIL. And he says, when are you going to retire? I said, this is retirement. I do this in retirement. Very seldom I met anybody who is in retirement who is doing absolutely nothing. They're always doing something. And we chose to do this with our business. And that's kind of an overview of the overall business. But the benefits of it, because of our lifestyle, because of issues in the family we've had to deal with, moving around the country, all these things we've been possible to deal with because of what the AMSOIL opportunity has enabled us to do. Gives us the flexibility for both time independence and financial independence. You can live where you want. You can take time to do things that you have to do with your families, with other issues, and you have time, you can work the business. So I know I've thrown a lot out there, but I just want to give you just an overview of where I came from in response to your question, how we did it, and what's happened for the last 30-some years.
That's outstanding, Tom. I appreciate that insight. There's two points that kind of interest me. I've interviewed several longtime AMSOIL dealers that have been in the business since the early 80s, late 70s, and Ray Pesco and a couple other ones, and they all seem like this big inventory. They've got a big stable place, and you've moved around the country. How were you able to, in these early days, to have a business that you didn't have to have a huge inventory out of your house? I mean, how did you work that business when you were first getting started like that?
Well, when we were first getting started, we were in Kansas, and we were 20 miles from Wichita. And being in Kansas, you know, a lot of the people were farmers, or they had tractors, or they had pickups. They had larger pieces of equipment. They would buy direct. We didn't have the preferred customer program. We didn't have the retail and commercial account program. And we had a limited amount of products, too. I'm trying to think of what we had back then, probably about seven or eight to start with. We had, of course, we had a couple motor oils, and we didn't have filters. You know, we had gear lube, and we had two-stroke oil, things like that. ATF didn't come out till like 80, 81. So as a result, the choices of products were less at the time. And you know, we could sell an oil change, and I stocked some oil. You know, maybe back then it was a lot of money, $300-$400, you know, which would be like $3,000 or $4,000 today. And I would deliver some of our people would come over to the house. But they would go down to Wichita and buy direct. So I didn't have to stock a lot of the product. And when I lived in Southern California, we had a distribution center in Riverside, which was, Corona, I guess, which was probably about 50 miles from us. But I didn't stock a lot there either. When we lived in Texas, I probably stocked most of the products, I stocked more in Texas than any other point we have been in, because I actually hit the quick lube market really hard down there. And a lot of the Metroplex quick lubes today are a result of what I was able to do back in the late 90s when the XL was introduced. And I did stock quite a bit there because we were actually supplying quick lubes. And some of them would come over to the house and pick up the oil. But even so, we had a distribution center in Arlington, which was a 45-minute drive from where I lived. But I have never, on a regular basis, stocked a tremendous amount of product for people to come to the house. And right now, I live on a lake in a golf course community that's gated. And I cannot have people coming over to the house on a regular basis where I live today. So that's just one option on how to work your business. Not that I wouldn't do that, or not that I couldn't or wouldn't do it, because I know dealers that make a lot of money on buying a 10% discount and selling at a regular dealer price. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not my business model.
So what works for you now? What business model do you mainly focus on, Tom?
Well, it's migrated. Obviously, when I first retired from the railroad back in 97, and even prior to that, we were working a lot of shows. And what you have to do, and I think those of you that have been in the AMSL business for a while wonder if you're going to be able to make a lot of money before you die. So what you have to do is you have to accelerate your growth curve. You have to find ways to accelerate your growth rate. Now, that can be a whole myriad of different ways to do it. I know there's dealers on the call at work shows. I know there's dealers that work the Internet. There's different venues that you can do. But bottom line, you need to find a way to accelerate your rate of growth. And obviously, when I had quit or retired early to do the business, man, I had to get out, you know, make calls. Of course, back then, that coincided with a lot of the quick lube stuff, too. In fact, we had quick lube owners become DJs. I mean, it just took off. But that grew volume fairly quickly. And we worked shows. We worked shows out of state. I mean, we didn't just stay local. We worked shows I'd worked for years in other parts of the country. We would travel around. And so that was what we did. And then in the early 2000s, the Internet started, and we were early adapters of the Internet as well as the shows. And I saw that as a way to see more customers in less time. In other words, another way to accelerate your rate of growth. So now I would say prioritizing the business model I have today, number one would be Internet, number two would be shows, and number three would be personal calls. Now, through this, I mean, that's sponsoring preferred customers, that's sponsoring dealers, that's helping dealers train. I mean, all that goes with it. I don't want to oversimplify what I'm doing. But the business mix over time has changed to finding ways where you can accelerate your growth rate and yet still bend it and mold it to your lifestyle and what you can do from where you live and your other responsibilities that you have with family and all these other issues that you have to put into the mix. Did that answer the question?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So what you're saying, there's no one way to build the AMSL business because there's so many options for us to do. You have to find what works for you in your particular situation, correct?
That's it. That's exactly right. And something else I've done in the last, since the late 80s, I got two master's degrees. And I went back to school. And one of them was in California. And I actually met Peter Drucker, the father of modern management. And I actually took some classes from Peter. And I actually took him home one time. So I had an opportunity to visit with him and get to know him a little bit. But one thing he said in one of his books, and I think a lot of you have heard this, but he's the guy that came up with these things, and that is, don't be concerned about doing things right, but do the right things. And so many dealers get tied up working in their business rather than on their business. And when you've got limited time, because of other, when I was working on the railroad with a 24/7 job, one of my last big operating jobs was I was over the operation for the entire state of California. But yet I was still able to work on this when I could. There's times you couldn't, but maybe if you're in a hotel some night, talk to somebody or get on the phone and do these things. But I guess to come back to your question about, there are different ways to work the business, but you have to be brutal with what you do. If what you're doing, especially with limited time and resources, if what you're doing doesn't further what you want to do, then don't do it. And consider the spirit in which I'm saying what I'm about to say here. We have a lot of dealers that want to buy a product and go deliver it, provide excellent customer service. That's perfectly fine. But you're not going to make 30 grand a month doing that. You're going to have to find ways to accelerate your rate of growth and be brutal with those things that are helping you do that. Now, I'm not saying that that's everybody's goal. Maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you just want to make a couple hundred dollars a month, which is fine. I'm not passing judgment on any of those things. I'm just telling you that if you want to really grow and if you really want to build a large business, you've really got to be smart about what you do and how you do it and the choices you make.
And that's exactly true, Tom. As we reach higher levels in our business, higher levels of leadership, it feels to me that the key is to find what dealers obviously want to work at the business, and then allow them the opportunity to work at where they want to be. Help them on their goal, because their goal might not be exactly what your goal is. My goal is to have a 100 direct jobbers, Tom, and that might not be on somebody's list. They might, like you say, want to make a couple hundred or a couple thousand dollars a month, or want the ability to go do some car shows in the summertime while they're enjoying time with their grandkids. That might not be my goal, and their goal might not be my goal. And the key is to help them find what their goal is and to facilitate that. And if you do that enough times, you're going to find the right people that want to be successful, correct?
That's exactly right. And whenever I sign somebody up, or when they call me, when I get a phone call or I get an email, I always tell them, let me help you do what you want to do with the AMSOIL business. Because trying to force everybody into the same mold is not a way to be successful. Now, you have to decide you're not going to spend all your time with somebody who wants to make $50 a month. But on the other hand, you never know when somebody's going to take off. Be there, be available, but don't force people to do what they can. To me, I think one of the worst questions dealers ask people is, do you want to become an AMSOIL dealer? That's the most unfair question you can ask somebody, because they don't have a clue what that is. Their response is going to be based upon what they perceive it to be. And they may not want any part of that. So allow them to do what they want to do. Then with education, as they grow, as they mature, then you can go ahead and help them along. But that is so true. You know, I've talked to dealers. They say, well, I don't work the commercial side, or I don't work the preferred customer side, or I just want to sign dealers up. And I always say, why would you say no to some business? It doesn't make sense. Allow people to do what they want to do and help them do it. And you're so right in being a helper, being a mentor to somebody to do what they want to do rather than forcing them into it. And dealers over the years have made that mistake. And you've got to understand, you know, when I said early on about my enthusiasm, everybody doesn't share that type of enthusiasm. But that helps your credibility too. So maybe they'll catch on. But be sensitive. And I think, I don't want to get into sales training here, but I think anybody here knows that the best way to really talk to somebody is ask questions. And that's not easy. You have to learn how to do that. Because we've all been in the mode where we start telling, we're so excited, and we tell, and their eyes glaze over. And then they said, when is this guy going to shut up? I got to get out of here, you know. But if you ask questions and show an interest in somebody, you know, Shirley used to say, and I think a lot of you have heard this before, when you talk to somebody, talk to them as if they got a sign around their neck saying, I want to feel important. And show an interest in them and draw them out. And, you know, a lot of people want to know, how in the world can you build credibility on the Internet? Or how can you build credibility talking to somebody in 5 minutes? By showing an interest in them.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, hey, I'm a big dealer and I can really help you out. You want to buy some oil? I mean, give me a break. That's not how you do it. I mean, you might sell a quart of oil, but you're not going to do it for the long term. You're not going to have a quality of customers and a growth that you're looking for. And the retention rate of successful AMSOIL dealers and preferred customers is over 4 years or so, over 60% if you do it right. That's tremendous. A lot of businesses would love to have those kind of numbers, but you don't do it by hammering people.
That's exactly true. And like you say, AMSOIL provides a lot of tools for us that are there for our taking. Like you say, the preferred customer program, and you know, I've got preferred customer I've had for the preferred customer program started, I believe, in 2000, 2001. I was just getting started as a dealer. And I've got some preferred customers that I've had for that long. They're just registered, and they buy the product for themselves, and they enjoy that. So work those programs that AMSOIL has in place, and it's going to help you be more successful without being so in your face, as you would say, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, when you see preferred customers renew for 5 or 10 years, that's future income.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I was talking with a direct jobber I know very well today who used to be a financial guy. And he laughed because we were trying to come up with, how in the world can you come up with a net present value of what a PC or a dealer's worth? It's difficult to do because any business would like to know that, because then they can decide how much they want to invest in obtaining a new customer or dealer or preferred customer. Bottom line is, it's always less expensive to help and maintain those you already have than get new ones.
That's pretty much true in any business, but
yeah,
especially true in AMSOIL.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I was looking on this. I pulled up the recent AMSOIL publication, the Dealer Magazine for 2014. And what I found was interesting, Tom and Sheila Shalen, 4-star Regency Platinum Direct Jobber, 6th in total organization, which That makes sense because you've been at it for a while. Fifth in personal group sales. What really struck me, it says first in new qualified customers and then second in new customer sales. So, Tom, at being at the business since 1979, I'm sure you're not a spring chicken, as they say, if you've been at it that long. I was 9 years old in 1979. So, how would you say for a dealer that sees that and says, well, you know, I can't get to new qualified customer place, that's open to anybody. You don't have to be in the business for 20 years in order to get that. New qualified customers, what does something like that take, Tom?
Well, it goes back to accelerating your rate of growth. The only way to do that is to be able to tell your story to more people in less time, whether it be by shows, whether it be by going out seeing people every day, whether it be the internet, finding ways that a dealer can handle, that can do, to accelerate your growth rate. Obviously, the internet's helped a lot with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, though, there are dealers who are making that number one, number two position who aren't working the internet either. They are working shows. They're seeing a lot of people. Especially seasonal. In fact, you can look at some of the people that are in the top five qualified new dealers or new accounts for the month. Northern Tier. They're probably up there working snowmobile shows, things like that. It's how creative can you be? And that's the beauty of the AMSOIL business, is it gives the individual dealer the ability to be as creative as they can be, rather than putting everybody into a box and this is the way you got to do it. And that's why it's important to look at your skill inventory, your skill sets, those things you have that are helpful, those things that you need to acquire to help you, and do it. But it goes back to finding ways to see more people in less time. Whatever you can do to do that will accelerate your growth rate, and that'll give you those kind of numbers. But you don't have to work the internet to do that. That's one way. It's a matter of...
We had a dealer team work a show last weekend up in Maryland, and they had over 100 new accounts registered. It was a tow truck show.
There you go.
So you don't have to be on. You don't even have to have an internet web page to get in front of the amount of people to do that type of business.
That's just the method. It's the idea of seeing more people in less time, regardless of how you do it.
Yeah. What about training, Tom? I think we visited at AMSOIL University. I've been there for everyone, I think, except one or two since 2001, which is the first AMSOIL University was in 2001. Drove myself all the way from El Paso, Texas, brand new AMSOIL dealer, couldn't afford to get there. Carried somebody with me who couldn't afford to get there either, but we both made it. And been to everyone except I think I missed one in between there or something like that. But tell me about training and someone that's serious in this business and they look at the price. Oh, it's $397 for the class, and I've got to get there somehow, fly or drive or walk or take a bus, I don't know, and stay in a hotel. So you're talking, let's say, $1,200 maximum. That's an investment in yourself and your business. What do you think about that? And just give me some of your thoughts.
Well, we haven't missed an AMSOIL since it started, or even a CNF school. AMSOIL used to have, back in the late 70s, early 80s, what they call a leadership and management school, an L&M school. And we were able to partake from that. But I think probably most everybody on this call has been to AMSOIL, and I think we'll realize that it's not just going there and seeing the corporate people in the plant. Many dealers acquire more fuel for their business talking to other dealers and just being there. at the dinners, at breaks, and talking to others, that's kind of a freebie that people forget about. That's really where a lot of the good ideas come from. Well, I didn't know that. Well, that's a good idea. And if you can even pick up one idea, that's tremendous. I've got some dealers that hardly ever contact me. Some of them don't even want my help. I said, fine. That's up to them. But those that do, you've got the phone, you've got email, you've got internet, you've got many modes today that you didn't have 20, 30 years ago. And I think it's important to stay in contact. You know, there are email distribution systems that you can get, this type of conference call. Even the video conferencing can be available. There's the secret is finding those that want or need the help and then finding ways to provide that for them. One thing that when you're in business this long, you obviously have a lot of dealers who aren't active anymore, but we still have new ones coming in. And those are the people that you want to work with. And you know, you talk to them, you find out what we said earlier, helping them do what they want to do with the business. I've got a recent dealer who's, well, they were PCs. Now, a lot of your dealers today are going to come from your PC ranks that we never used to be able to achieve that. But, for example, it's a motocross family race team who became dealers from preferred customers, and they're getting going, they're going to races, but I'm working with them, for example. And I think some of you may have been involved or talking to dealers, well, my sponsor's 2,000 miles away, or I can't talk to anybody, things like that. And that is not a good excuse in today's environment. You have ways to help train and to interface with these people on a regular basis. But I think it's really important for those that want to do something with it. We had some dialogue on meetings on the forum that I was involved with here fairly recently. I don't do a whole lot on the forum, but once in a while I put some comments out there. And somebody was asking a question about meetings. And I know when I was in Texas, we held regular meetings, and I wound up, and I'm not complaining, it's just factual, training a lot of people that weren't our dealers. But that's the point. You just do it, and you work with these folks. And there are some issues with meetings as far as keeping them fresh and keeping them appropriate for the people that are there, because you might have people that are brand new, that are prospects, that are old DJs. So you have some challenges there. So I find it very useful to tailor training to whoever the person is based upon their desires, their needs, and where they're going with it.
That's hard to do when you got a mass of people, but, you know, like you say, keep it fresh and have a varied discussion, maybe have several types of meetings. We try to do that here with our call. There's people calling from all over the United States into this thing tonight, and they could be next door, or they could be in Oklahoma or Florida or Pennsylvania, and they're calling in. This is, I think, some of the best training. They get to sit in their own home. I've had people out mowing their grass while they're listening to this with headphones that I put on mute or whatever, and it's just kind of funny stuff. But it's amazing how technology has changed, and there's no excuse not to be able to call into something like this. I don't know why more dealers aren't doing these types of trainings, and I should be doing more myself with video and PowerPoint. We're hoping to get into some more of that in 2014, but I just think this AMSOIL business is just wonderful because there's so many avenues of success. It's you know, it's cars, you know, and equipment that if you're a dude, this is stuff that I grew up wrenching on things, and I just absolutely love it. I'm not you know, doing other things, so I really enjoy this. But Tom, we're gonna go into questions here. Is there any one last thing you'd like to say in closing to maybe a dealer that's listening to this for the first time and wants to hear from a veteran that's been at it since 1979, We appreciate you getting on, but tell us in closing, what do you think a new dealer should know and understand?
Well, I think bottom line, a dealer needs to have a reason for the business. And it's those that don't need the business that are successful. It's those that want the business. And I think all of us have talked to people, and you see people that, wow, they really need this business. They could do so well with it, but they don't want it. So I think it's important that dealers do some soul searching and see where they want to go with this long term. You always can change directions with it. But, you know, where do you want to head with it? And you have to have that desire. You have to have that enthusiasm, because those things will help you build a solid foundation for the future.
Exactly. Well, that's a great statement, Tom. And, you know, you've got to have your reason why for doing this, and that definitely makes sense. And not the fact that you need the money. I've never had anybody yet that signed up that really that needed the money so bad they went out and built a successful AMSL business.
Well, it's always best to build a business before you have to.
Exactly.
And I always tell people that, because I have people call me that, you know, they're out of a job and they're in a pinch, and I say, yes, you can do it, but it's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight like a job. You're going to have to build this up.
Yep.
And I think, direct jobber I knew always used to say, it's not a get rich quick, it's get rich slow.
But you will get rich if you keep going after it. You know,
that's
it's not the
bottom line.
It's the fact that you will get rich if you keep after it. You know, there's many people that work for 30, 40 years in corporate America that retire and have nothing to show for it except for a golden watch. I mean, they do give out the watch anymore, but they're scraping by and they've got to go do something else.
I know. I was wondering why they gave them a watch when they don't need it.
Exactly. Let's get over here and see if there's anybody got any. Hi, and has anybody got a question for Tom? Maybe a question about getting started, or a question on anything that's pertaining to the call tonight? Speak up. Okay, folks, come on. We got a question. Anybody got a question for Tom?
Not really a question. I just want to say thank you. It was really nice. Interview. It make you think what you're doing. Like I said, you should do it right, and you realize and you're not always doing right, especially when you're excited, especially on that, like on this recent show, you start to talk to people and start to talk too much.
Right.
So that's my question will be how to contain yourself in this situation.
That's something that has to be learned and acquired, of being able to draw people out and ask questions, and if you see them with a new car, rather than saying, hey, I got some stuff that's really great to make your car run better, to last forever, and all these things, say, you know, that's a nice car. What do you like about that? And is there any particular reason you bought that one? What do you do with it? What do you like about it? You know, and you start asking questions, and you start showing an interest in the person, and you've got credibility. Because if you don't have credibility with the customer, you can give them all the facts in the world, you're never going to get anywhere with them. You have to get that rapport and credibility early on. And I know if you're working a show with 100 people you're talking to, it's not easy. But long term, it's just a matter of people skills, and those things can be acquired.
Excellent.
I have one more question. This is Chuck Oliver from New Jersey.
Yeah.
My question is, Tom, you mentioned a few times about quick lubes during the interview tonight. What would you recommend if you're going into a new quick lube, never heard of AMSL, this and that? Would you try to do a retail on the shelf account, or would you approach the dealer option for them? I heard you say that you have a few quick lubes that turn DJs.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, would that be a better fit?
let me tell you the story about that. It took me 6 months, 5 months to give them to a retail on a shelf account of following up. And it was another year before I became a dealer.
So they went into the retail on the shelf first.
Yeah, and I tell people this, right, because what happens, and I know some of the experienced DJs out there will know what I'm talking about, when you start talking to a Quick Lube owner, first of all, to me, I think one of the best, you know, how do you go in a Quick Lube cold?
Right.
And I think one of the best things to go in there with is, hi, my name is Jim Swift, and I can't stay long. Because this guy's busy. He might have just had a problem with the customer. And right away, you've disarmed that you're going to take a lot of his time. And if he wants to talk for 4 or 5 minutes, fine. It's his decision, not yours.
Right.
But you go in there to try to get an appointment. Now, secondly, about that dealership retail on the shelf option.
Mm-hmm.
Very seldom will you be successful signing the owner up as a dealer up front. And the reason for it, they don't understand it. There's too much going on in their head. They can't figure it out. Give them something that they can buy like they're buying everything else. They buy wholesale, sell retail. They understand that. We can raise your average ticket. And, you know, there are some stats that I ran over the years, and I'll just throw them out. If you have one Quick Lube, do one XL change a day. That's $1,000 a year to you, bottom line. That's an easy figure to remember. But if you run the numbers, that's like 250, 252 changes a year of XL. That's about $1,000 a year to you. So if you have one Quick Lube, do one change a day, that's $1,000 a year to do. And just run the numbers. If you have 10, do 10 a day, that's $100,000 to you. And that's as a retail on the shelf account. But what you run into is the complication, or at least appears to be complicated to the individual. Now, when they start buying $500, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 a month, then the owner says, Mr. Owner, you know, you're losing out on about $1,500 a month commission on your purchases. Would you like to have an arrangement where you get that cash up front now that'll further reduce the price of your product and give you some more cash than just selling at retail? Is this something that you would be interested in talking about? But they've already got that established first.
Right. So best thing to do is get in there at the retail on the shelf, build the relationship after a year or so, take them out to lunch, explain the other options out there, and go from there.
Yeah, right. And they may never want to do it. But it's just, you know, the thing is you want to start seeing some oil move. And get a credit line, get the sales tax on file, and the buy, you know, the 5K startup order, and they get their banner and their brochures, and they're off and running. And help them build that business up. Train. Now, one thing I've done in the past is hold training sessions for the Quick Lube employees.
Right.
And you've got to really have a dedicated owner for that to happen because they're selling lots of stuff. But once they see the profitability, the other stat I was going to give you, and it seems to work out again, the percentage of AMSOIL changes that Quick Lube does will increase your average ticket by that amount.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, now that's, you know, with them selling so much other stuff today, I haven't updated that number to see if it still works, but it used to. In other words, if they sold 10% of their oil changes, AMSOIL, they've raised their average ticket 10%. And the reason I'm mentioning that, those are quick numbers you can give an owner that he'll understand. You've got to talk in their terms. Average ticket, profitability per car, all these things. And they can understand that. You know, if you did 10% oil changes with AMSOIL, Mr. Owner, you'd raise your average ticket 10%.
Do you go with OE as price or XL as price and quality?
That was XL.
Right.
But don't make, and I wouldn't say this is a mistake, but especially in today's environment, you've got second, third generation owners. These guys didn't start on the business. These people didn't buy a business, they bought a job. And they're out there working these places, and some of them don't have a clue. They shouldn't even be in the business. But they don't care about quality. They don't care how good the product is. They like the idea they don't have callbacks. They like the idea they don't have issues. But keying on that area of the product first may not be important to them. And that's where it goes back to asking questions and finding out what's important to them. You know, what do you like about the products you're selling now, Mr. Owner? What would you like to do differently? What would you like to do better? And then meet the need. You solve a problem, you got a sale.
Yep. I appreciate that.
Because you got to find out what that is.
Yep.
Excellent. Great advice, Tom. Appreciate that. Well, it's been a great call, Tom, and thanks again for taking time out of your day for this call. And we hope that this helps dealers, not only on our team, but dealers on your team, Tom. And, you know, I've had many people contact me that are not in our downline that listen to these calls on a regular basis and that really enjoy them. And I think this is very informative, and we appreciate your time.
Well, I think it's a treat, and I know some of the folks on here. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with them again. Some of them might have heard some of this stuff before, but truth doesn't change.
Exactly. Good stuff. Well, again, Tom, thanks again, and I hope you have a great night. Everybody else, have a great night. Thanks for getting on the call tonight. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.